Wow, what a wonderful time to come together and just think about things that are going on. First of all, we want to say we pray that you honored a veteran this past week. Veterans Day is an important part of our life as we remember and thank God for the sacrifices that our military people have done for us to keep us safe. But you also got to think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us, and that's also something that we need to thank God about. And Jesus was telling his disciples when he was here on this earth in Luke's Gospel chapter 21, like we talked about today, Jesus was telling the disciples about the future, basically, and things that had to come to pass before his return, and a lot of those wonderful things. And of course, we're still waiting for his return, but we know it's going to happen because Jesus said, and God said, I'm coming back to set up my kingdom here on earth. And of course, you know, by knowing me, I am hopeful on the eschatology. It's a big fancy word for the return of Christ and the end of the age. The age of grace, not the end of the world, but the end of the age of grace. So when I was referring to and reflecting on the scripture in Luke chapter 21 verses 5 through 19, in fact it goes on more and more right on into the end of the chapter. So I pray that if you get time, read Luke 21 and start at verse 5 through the end of the chapter. Well, have you ever tried to make a prediction? I know I did. I get myself in trouble all the time, especially predicting the market. I love to play in the market. Now, I'm not gambling, but, you know, sometimes I think, oh, I think I can do this with a stock, or I could do that. And a lot of times, not so good. My ability to think about stuff like that is not as great as some of the ones that do it professionally, but my track record is not that good. So anyhow, I said that to say this. You know, our faith is what we hang on to. Faith without works is dead, and if we don't work our faith, that's what they're talking about. They're not saying about works. You got to do all of these works to get into heaven. No, faith without works is dead, meaning you got to work your faith. You got to continue to grow in grace and do all the things and let the Holy Spirit work with you and in you and for you. But I said all that to say this. You know, some predictions from the past and from individuals, we know there's a lot sometimes of even churches that predicted the return of the Lord. And of course, he's not back here yet. Not saying that he won't, because I think he will. But it's not in our time frame or the way that we think it should happen. And you got to be cautious of people setting dates, especially when it comes to our faith. But predictions, sometimes you have to look back. Look back at the past, at some of the predictions that was made. Think about this. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM, in 1943, he said, I think there's a world market for maybe 5 computers. Wow. I think now everybody has a computer, whether it's a phone or a desktop or something like that. But that's what he thought. And he was the chairman. He even invented that big old computer called Watson that even played chess with people around the world. And he thought, well, there will only be a market for 5 of these. Popular Mechanics in 1949 made this prediction, where a calculator on the ENIAC, which is some kind of brainiac name for a computer, is equipped with 18,000 vacuum tubes and weighs 30 tons. Computer in the future may only have 1,000 vacuum tubes and weigh 1.5 tons. Wow. Well, at the science project that I did when I was in school, I think it was grade school, I did a science project on transistors. Transistors was just coming into being at that time. But that prediction about the computer having vacuum tubes, we don't even use vacuum tubes anymore. Vacuum tubes were very important in the radio business and a lot of the televisions and of the early days. They were important, but now, no. Transistors, microchips, all these other kind of things. So that prediction in Popular Mechanic magazine, 1949, it didn't happen. And there was an inventor by the name of Lee DeForest, and he claimed, quote, "Well, theoretically and technically, television may be feasible, but commercially and financially, it isn't possible. In fact, televisions as a business will be an impossibility." You got a television in your house? The Decca Recording Company made a big mistake when they made this prediction. We don't like their sound, and guitar music is really on the way out. That was their prediction in 1962 concerning the lads from Liverpool. You remember who they were? The band was called the Beatles. Yeah. A lot of those predictions and a lot of those things that has come and gone. And, you know, we understand that. It's we like to think that we know everything, but we don't. And Jesus, when he was talking about the signs of the end of the age, not the end of the world, but the end of the age, in that little segment that we read in Luke's Gospel is what they call the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus was talking to his disciples and how they were walking around and looking at all the things. And he kind of told them what was going to happen, that all these stones here one day will be laying down one on top of the other. And they thought, wow, that's near impossible. That could never happen. Well, in 70 AD, when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, and they did that, exactly that. They took the temple, set it on fire, and all those stones were on top of each other. In fact, even now when you go to Jerusalem and you go down to where the old temple was, like at the Western Wall, you can see where all those big, beautiful stones that was so precisely made and chiseled and put together is just now a pile of rubble. And then Jesus also said to us later on in Luke 21 about the learn the parable of the fig tree. He said, "As leaves on a fig show summer is near, so the fulfillment of all these things I am teaching." And he revealed that his return was near, and it still is near. Now, some of the disciples and some of the people thought he was coming back in the next couple of weeks after the resurrection, but it's near. But Jesus also challenged us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Because we have to have specific instructions about what it means to watch and pray and anticipate his return. He gives us some insights on that, and he says, you know, where to avoid being weighed down with all this drunkenness and darkness and the anxieties of life. But we are to watch. We are to watch and pray and expect. Now we think about, we're getting ready for Christmas season, and we talk about Advent at Christmas time. And the Advent at Christmas time we know already happened. What we're looking for is waiting for the second Advent. So we stay in constant hope of the Advent. So because we know there's only one person, only one God, only one true spirit that can straighten all this mess out in this world. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the book of Revelation, it says, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." And we're grateful for that, because that's what we hang on to. We hang on to that blessed hope that he is the only one who can come and straighten this old world out. You know why I think that is? He created the world. He is the inventor. He is the one that can straighten it all out. And even when it comes to computers and, well, even cars. I've spent most of my life in the car business. You know, and when they come out with a new model, the factory sends you a manual. And they send you shop manuals. And they send you all this stuff you need in order to fix it. And that works out real well, because when you're trying to fix something and you can't figure out what's going on with it, you get out the shop manual and you're able to figure out how to fix it. Why? Because the manufacturer told you how to do it. What about life? Yeah, we can't figure this old life out unless we call upon the one who created not only the heavens and the earth, but created you and I. Well, thank you for letting me ramble here today. We had done something, and you might notice on the prayer requests and so forth in the bulletin. There was a lot of prayer requests and so forth on there that wasn't viable anymore. Some of those folks went home to be with the Lord. Some of the prayer requests was answered and all that. And sometimes there's only one way to make a clear thing is to let's just like start over. Now, we don't want to have a blank prayer request because Phil knows he's the one that puts it all together. And he can put things together, and some of those prayer requests and so forth remain on there. But we did update it a little bit, at least we tried. But if you have a prayer request and you want it listed in the bulletin, let me know or let Phil know, either a text, email, or a phone call. But we thank God that we're able to have what we call intercessory prayer. And that's what we do on this online version of the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. We pray a prayer of intercession for you and with you. And Jesus taught the disciples, because they were wondering, why does he go off by himself sometimes? And he told them, I got to talk to Daddy. So then he said, well, you know, would you guys like to know how to talk to Dad? And he said, yeah. So he gave us a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with as we close this segment. And thank you for tuning in. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, because he won't do that. God does not tempt you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the one who does tempt you, and that is the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God loves you, and so do we.